But all of that to come a little bit later on. But first of all, we're going to talk about divorce and separation. Why are we talking about that? Well, apparently, since the start of the year, there's been quite a surge in the number of people seeking to split up, either to start the process of separation or indeed start the more legal process of divorce. And my first guest this afternoon knows a thing or two about both subjects. She's a divorce consultant and mediator. She meets hundreds of individuals and couples every year to help guide them through this tricky situation. She herself has been divorced twice, so she knows a thing or two, as I said already, about the whole process. And she's even written a book on the subject, which she spoke to us about on a previous occasion. Her name is Michelle Brown, and she's on the line now. Good afternoon, Michelle.
Good afternoon, Deirdre. Nice to chat again.
Lovely to talk to you again. First of all, why do you think there's been a surge in the number of couples splitting up since the start of the year? Is January a pretty tough time for marriages, I wonder?
I think January has become known in this industry, and certainly I've seen an increase in it. It's quite typical of the January that after that period together for the Christmas, be it, you know, that it was a long time coming or not, things come to the surface and people, you know, it's been known in the business as divorce month, January, because of that period together at the Christmas time. But it's obviously, I don't associate it with just the Christmas, you know, underlying issues come to the surface. People spend the time together again. You know, I was speaking to somebody yesterday who said the time we were stuck together with the storms recently, it was the same in COVID, you know. Problems that are under the surface are realised the more time that people, I suppose, spend that they, you know, aren't going off to their work and different things during the day. And decisions are made, I suppose, and perhaps something about the new year as well, that, you know, people say, right, this has gone on for long enough. We need to do something about this situation. And these decisions are made in January.
Yeah, fresh start and all of that.
Yeah, and exactly.
Are you seeing any trends in terms of reasons couples split up? I mean, I know there's a myriad of reasons, but I'm just guessing with no expertise in the area that money is a factor.
Financial stress is an awful lot got to do with it, I suppose. You know, we're under more pressure, more problems. It's more difficult for people who already have problems. But when those things happen that we're under pressure, people lose jobs or are under financial difficulties for various reasons. Yes, it obviously piles on the pressure on a difficult relationship and decisions are made to split. But I suppose, Deirdre, the message to get out there that's really important is that there are different, more effective ways of dealing with divorce than what we have been doing for the past 25 years. And I suppose that's the real key message to get out there, that there is a different way. And divorce, as tough as it is, shouldn't be so difficult, and it need not be so difficult. I suppose that's the key message.
And of course, what we have at the moment are the family law course, and you say that courts, and you say that this whole process is difficult and that breakups are already difficult without bringing the court into the equation. Why is that court process so tricky, Michelle?
The court process is how we have been traditionally dealing with divorce. It is where we have gone. The number one, and you know, okay, you would say, why is it so difficult? Why are this court so the list so long in the courts? Why is it taking years? Well, number one, it's to do with a system that is old and slow, and even, you know, down to the paperwork end of it, it's slow. And there's not enough judges, and there's not enough courts. And the Family Justice Reform Committee will tell you that these things are on the way. And we know that, you know, the wheels in turning in government are slow. So, you know, they are aware that there's not enough judges. They are aware that there's not specialist courts for family law, and that is all in a programme for government. But irregardless, in my opinion, whether or not there was a judge for every family, the whole process of getting yourselves into a situation where you're taking a case against each other is what I believe is the most damaging aspect to the children and to individuals dealing with divorce. So, in other words, in order to go through that court system, the typical way of doing it is by each party to a divorce to take a solicitor and a barrister, and with that comes a case. And it becomes really acrimonious really quickly, because whereby solicitors' letters are going through the door, you know, to and from each other, and a case is being built, and you want to think about how bad that person is, you're very quickly getting into a highly acrimonious case that's very hard to come back from.
So you say there is an easier way, and I'm assuming you're going to say to me that mediation is that easier way.
So mediation is that easier way. So rather than a case and each party having their own representation, the mediator is a person who's in the middle, on neither party's side, non-judgmental, and trying to help the two parties come to an amicable agreement. Now you'll say, well, I'm not speaking to him, I can't sit in the same room as him. I'm saying we need to change our outlook on how we're dealing with it. That, you know, as a society, we say to each other when we're hurt, you know, take him to the cleaners, or she's only it, take her to the... We need to step back from that. The damage that is being done, and it's well reported, and that, you know, our children are badly affected by how we're dealing with divorce. There is clear evidence from psychologists that, you know, they're suffering with anxiety and depression when their parents are dealing with this. And it has been protracted, and it has, you know, taken so many years for people to deal with this through the courts that it's causing severe damage to the children and no doubt to the individuals, and it's costing a fortune.
But does mediation work though?
Mediation is highly effective for the vast majority of cases. There are a number of cases that are very difficult to mediate, whereby there's, you know, criminal aspects to it, whereby there's violence. But for the vast majority of cases where people have fallen out of love, you know, that they've broken up because of affairs or because of, you know, whatever difficulties brought them to the place where they have decided that their marriage is no longer viable, for the vast majority of those couples, mediation is highly effective. And there needs to be an understanding of what that is, how available it is, how widely available it is, and that, you know, this is going to save our children the stress of this breakup. The stress is not about breaking up. The stress is about how people break up. So the mindset in that we're going to step away from the weapons, we're going to step away from these cases, and that we are going to deal with each other in an effective manner. The Mediation Act changed everything, Deirdre. The Mediation Act allows for legally binding contracts to be drawn up that don't need to go near the courtroom. And the only thing we need to go into the courtroom for is a divorce or a pension adjustment order. The other matters can be dealt with outside of court. And, you know, that's key. That's a key message for people. And if you're going in for a divorce because you want a divorce, and the only thing we technically need a divorce for is to remarry, because your separation agreement deals with all matters in full and final settlement. So, you know, if you're going in there with an agreement under your arm, Deirdre, it's a different ball game altogether.
I want to move on to asking you about prenups and all of that. But just before we leave the whole mediation process, are more and more Irish couples going down that route?
Absolutely. Absolutely. People have now the experience of somebody they know who's been through it. And also, our solicitors are legally obliged. Every solicitor, family law solicitor, is legally obliged to advise their clients of mediation and to give them information on a mediator. And that is, I suppose, something that's really important, because it is recognised by the government and it is supported by judges and it's widely encouraged and it's there in law.
Is it cheaper as well?
Having a knock-on effect. It's a fraction of the cost,
A fraction of the cost.
A fraction of the cost. Your mediation, you know, should take a series of hours. Not, you know, 1 or 2 hours a week for, you know, 4 or 6 weeks. Not years. So obviously, if you work that out, I mean, you're dealing with so much less stress. I mean, the mediation isn't necessarily easy either, but it's in a different format. You're dealing with it outside of the court. You're not dealing with that added stress of the anxiety of a courtroom space, you know. So it's definitely, you know, it's cost effective, absolutely.
I want to talk to you just next, Michelle, about what happens before you get married? Because I know it sounds terribly unromantic, and nobody gets married thinking that it's all going to go belly up eventually. But you advocate for getting legal advice before getting married. Tell me more about that.
So absolutely. Unfortunately, we need to change the legislation around prenups in Ireland. We do not have the mechanism in law to create prenuptial agreements in Ireland. Yes, it's unromantic, but we need to put pressure on the government to allow prenuptial agreements to be recognised in family courts. Currently, they're not. So that requires a change in legislation. And why that is so important, I feel, is that should the worst happen and we break up, and we have gone through what would happen, as in we have contracted a prenuptial agreement which would ensure that that is laid out, if the worst happens, say for example you're going into a marriage with property or pensions, or that you know what's going to happen to those items, that you have had that discussion, that it is clear, that would avoid an awful lot of cases and an awful lot of backlogs and an awful lot of what's going on in the courts and the family court system today, should we have those prenuptial agreements recognised. And that's down to government to legislate for. And it's vitally important at this stage. People are getting married, you know, later in life, for the second time or the third time. And, you know, this is something that really needs to be addressed.
And in the absence of that, and until such time as we have such legislation, Michelle, what would you advise couples to do from a legal point of view before they get married? Particularly, we'll say, if one of them has a lot more money and a lot more assets, like land or houses or whatever, than the other.
Yeah. Well, look, it is possible to sit down and say what would happen and to try and create a contract between the parties. But unfortunately, the Constitution does not, in family law, does not have to recognise it. But you could obviously create a document and, you know, seek legal advice on how best to deal with that should the worst happen. But really, it's down to the legislation being changed for them to be recognised. But I would certainly say it's really, really important to have these conversations and, you know, should the worst happen. People are older and wiser, I suppose, if they're doing it again, and, you know, people can be more sensible if the worst happens, if they've had that conversation. But whereby, you know, that has never been addressed, it's obviously these things come as a shock. They're difficult. Family law is not straightforward, and it's very difficult for people to navigate. So I suppose even having the conversation, the understanding that when you're getting married, anything either party have can be considered as a marital asset. And there's no clarity in law as to who should get what. You know, this is why we have the problems we have in the courts in Ireland.
Exactly. Plenty of food for thought there. Well, listen, Michelle, your book is called Scars of Divorce, and it's still available now. I know it came out, about 2 years ago, was it? Or was it more recently?
No, it was only last year. Yeah. But if anybody obviously wants to get in touch, it's Brown & Co Mediation is the website.
Brown & Co Mediation. And and the book again
and
is called Scars of Divorce by Michelle Brown. Michelle, it's always interesting talking to you, and you really have your finger on the pulse when it comes to this particular subject. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
No problem. Thanks for the chat. Take care.
That is a divorce consultant and mediator Michelle Brown there. Michelle is based in County Kildare. And I wonder, has anyone out there got any views on what she says? She says you'd be mad not to seek legal advice before you get married nowadays. So many marriages end in tears, end in separation and divorce. Difficult conversation to have with somebody that you're planning to spend the rest of your life with. But nonetheless, it sounds like it's a practical thing to do, especially if we'll say one of you has, as I said already, property, houses, money, perhaps the other doesn't. How would things be divided up if it all went sour? Something to think about. 083 300 3300, if you've any thoughts on that one. After the break and the bingo, we'll be hearing from a listener who's very upset at a particular song that was played on Radio Kerry yesterday. Can you guess what song that was?
Talk About on Radio Kerry, sponsored by Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney, where the finest quality produce is sourced, served, and enjoyed with award-winning hospitality.